Hi, my name is Mark, and I did planted a church 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, in downtown San Diego. And my wife and I have two babies, and my in-laws are actually teaching across the way here on raising godly kids in ministry. And I'm married to one of them. And so I would actually rather be at theirs right now than listening to me talk. But we have an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old on Saturday. So my 14-year-old is a girl, so pray for your boy. I always told the Lord, "Lord, whatever you do, you can't come back until I'm married." Come on, somebody. Jesus, just not till I'm married. And now that I have a 14-year-old daughter, my prayer is, "Lord, please come back before my daughter gets married." And my wife's like, "That is so weird. You should never say that." But Pete also has a beautiful baby girl out here. And Pete, you got a 15 or 16?
I've got a 13-year-old.
13? Oh.
13-year-old. And my daughter, Blakely, is going to be 10 on Sunday. Yep. And then I have what I call God's sense of humor at 3. Yep. You can understand why. So just because I love my wife. So I've got 3 kids. Excited to be here with you guys today.
Totally.
Yeah.
Tell us about your church.
Yeah, so I am at Mesa Church in Irvine, California. So right here in Orange County, right near John Wayne Airport. And I've been there for a little over almost 4 years as the creative arts pastor.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I want to tell whoever's using that mic in the one next to us, these rooms aren't that big. You don't need a mic. We're going to have you, we're going to do some interactive. I've been to so many workshops. I usually fall asleep. Or two, they give me 10 points to creating the church you've always wanted. And I forget all of them. Or three, the presentation was so boring, I'm not going to do anything you asked us to do. So we're going to try to make this for all of you creatives and pastors. And the struggle for this was this, that we didn't want to say creatives versus pastors, because here's the reality. Creatives, many times, have a shepherd's heart. And they're called the ministry, and they are pastors. Amen?
Yeah.
And pastors, to come up with what God has given you for a message, most of them are creatives. Amen?
Yeah.
And so we have created, I think, by culture, we do what we do. We just split everything, and we go, "Oh, this." But how many believe that every gift is different? Every person is different. And I say this all the time. It takes all kinds to reach all kinds. Now, think about this. The next however long we're here, while you guys are sitting back, maybe taking notes, maybe not, there's a team right back here. They're literally writing a song. They're literally making graphics for a sermon series you guys picked. And there's a lot going on out there. But we're going to talk about two things, culture and the presence. The culture of your church, the culture of your creative teams, and how are you making the presence of God tangible for your people? How are they interacting with the presence of God? Are they taking home what you're giving them on the weekend? Are you giving them resources? Is it clear and obvious? So the thing that we're trying to do, if you catch anything, I haven't preached in a year and a half. And so even standing in front of you right now, I'm like, "Lord, I know I could word vomit over everybody, and we could start at the beginning of Genesis and go to the end of Revelation. But whatever I say, whatever Pete says, we want it to be clear and obvious. We want you to walk away for a next step. Oh, I've been in the workshops where there's 20 steps to doing this, and you're like, I have no idea what they talked about because it was just too much information. It was like drinking out of a fire hose. Have you ever been in those sessions? We don't want that. We want it to be clear and obvious. We're going to give a couple things that you may be able to apply. So Lord, we need your presence. Lord, we just need to be obedient. And give us some next steps. I pray for every culture that's here. I pray for every city represented. City represents people, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, is for people. And so, Lord, give us even pictures of people in our congregation, pictures of people in our city that don't know you. Give us pictures of some things, some next steps, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to, real quick, I was up early the other morning doing devotions. You know when pastors say that? And like, I remember as a young kid, my pastor being, yeah, I was up at 4 a.m. I'm like, Lord, I'm just not a good Christian. I think it was 9 o'clock, actually, when I heard the Lord. I'm reading the Lazarus account, and Jesus said, this will not end in death. Do you remember this story? And it was like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me for us today, maybe for some of you this morning, now afternoon. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not going to die. Can I just say that prophetically? The Church of Jesus is not going to die. Now, Foursquare, like, we've had an amazing run for 100 years. You know what? In 50 years, if the grace is over and there's a better way to reach people at any cost, Foursquare is going to submit to Jesus, the Lordship, right? Jesus is the Lord of his church.
Yeah.
I mean, I could list governments, I could list record labels, I could give, news, I could give all these things. But by the way, Colossians is so clear that the reigning thing over all of these things is Jesus. Yeah. And so, like, we're talking about best practices and worship and creatives and all that stuff. But I just want to, we sometimes worship our style sometimes way too much. Our liturgy at times is Lord. And I just want to remind you today that over all of creativity is Jesus, Lord of his church. Over all the songs, over all the sermon series, over all the buildings, over all the leaders, it's about Jesus. And there's times in our ministries where we just feel like what we're doing is dead. And I wanted just to declare to you, like, wasn't last night's message so good? Like, just start over. Start over. And for some of us, there may be a small death. But the Church of Jesus is not dying. Amen. And so today, like, you might feel like your creative ministry, worship, parts of your life just seem dead right now. Some of you, like the text also talks about, I'm giving you a point right here. It's a little sneaky. I mean, Jesus was late. Martha and Mary, like, where were you? Like, this dude stinks now. He's dead. And he goes, oh, don't worry. He actually cries with them as well.
Yeah.
I memorized that scripture. Come on. And though he cries with them, he knows he's coming back to life. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. That it says that Lazarus had remnants. He had remnants of what he was wrapped in. And I just believe there's some of us, like, we've just got areas of our ministry, areas in our life, maybe personally, they feel dead, they feel stinky. Maybe there's just some remnants of some death. And can I just pray prophetically that today, I just believe that the end is not dead. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection. And so that's a prophetic word. And we would usually pray and we would have the keyboards, but we're going to transition into talking about culture. And we're going to talk about some strategies to help you. So,
yeah. So some of you may have heard this popular quote, right? Culture needs strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, you know, for whatever makeups we've got, whatever experiences we have, it's very easy to get into the cycle or to the cog of strategies, of just implementing, of just doing things, of just getting things done. But yet culture is where life really happens. Culture is where multiplication really happens. And you start to see it multiply and show up more than just in your own skill set and what you got in your two hands. But it becomes bigger than yourself.
Right.
You know, and so today, our heart is really, like what Mark said, is to talk about culture and presence and how that really works. And so each of you in this room, you've got amazing influence and amazing capabilities and giftings and really an anointing, I would say, that God has placed over your lives to really see something bloom. Maybe like what Marcus said, you've got certain things that you're not able to. It's dry ground right now. But it's His presence that will break it. It's His presence that will bring the rain.
Yeah.
You know, it's His presence that will bring the new life that we can't do on our own.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and with culture too, I was thinking about this, like in the 20 churches I've been, when I walk in, I haven't looked at their values on the website. I haven't listened to any messages. I haven't even heard their band. But the moment you walk in, you feel culture. In fact, you smell culture. When I went to Mesa Church, Peace Church, I'm like, that smells amazing. Like, I want to take a nap or worship or something. Why was that?
Yeah, so we took you know, some of the stuff. So we did the what's called a scent air, and we bought smells. You know, and we create feelings, we create moments, we hit the senses. Creativity isn't more than just the visual, audio, it's what you smell, what you feel, what you touch, all those different things. And so, yeah.
And culture, you'll hit it really quick. I was hired for a 6-month contract with a Southern Baptist church 9 months ago. And I go, you guys, like, man, I'm a tongue-talking, Bible-believing. And they're like, no, Mark, we need you. Like, we need you. And I said, no, I don't think you should hire me. I go, I'm a culture shifter. I will shift your culture. Yeah. And they go, no, we're good. You're not going to. And our first weekend, you guys, every worship leader came up and goes, we've literally never seen anything like that. The pastor comes up and goes, whatever that was, what you did, I want that. What did they experience? They experienced culture.
Yeah.
And 5 months later, their culture came out. Their culture came out. And in 5 months, they fired 4 people. In 5 months, they recruited nobody to any teams except worship. In 5 months, they went from about 600 people down to 300 people. Why? Culture. And so we're going to talk about culture.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead. You make the transition. Keep us on.
Yeah, so that sounds good. So, you know, with the culture, there's got to be real intentional things that you've got to do in order to maintain a culture. And so, you know, with that, what we want to give you guys today is some practical things and really just some things that you're going to hear a little bit as far as, you know, we're going to give you some of our examples, but understand that what we're giving you is really kind of just a framework, but it's something that you can really implement from where you're at, for what you have in your hands, you know. So as we share, because we're coming from different playing fields, different opportunities, different situations, journeys, all that different stuff. But hopefully what you hear today, you're gonna hear a lot of the ground roots, a lot of the foundational pieces that will help you to really establish what the culture would be. And so if we're talking about culture has to be first. But in order for culture to thrive, you know, you need a good strategy, right? You need to have something in place that reinforces the culture, that doesn't. And so what I want to say is, so from a creative standpoint, as we're talking about connecting pastors and creatives and all these different things, we want to talk about a strategy that the strategy and all the different things. It doesn't happen without, one, a calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. And two, a vision.
All the admins say amen.
Amen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this stuff doesn't happen without a calendar and a vision, but the reality is some of us, you know, we've gotten turned upside down where our calendar ends up leading the vision. But in reality, it's the vision that has to drive where the calendar goes. Because if your vision is clear, then what goes in that calendar makes sense. So, can I get an amen?
Right.
Right? If your vision is clear, then what goes on that calendar, not only does it make sense, but then it allows your people, the congregations that you're serving, that you're pastoring, that you're ministering to grab a hold and to be able to take ownership of what is happening, of where is God leading us.
Right.
So you need vision and a calendar.
I had a guest speaker, and his wife was sitting over here, and he goes, "Man, how many of you love Pastor Mark and Bethany?" And you know, the woo. And his wife goes, "Woo," like a low woo. He goes, "Did you just boo?" And so, yeah.
So what we're gonna do is, I need three volunteers. Can I get three?
Come on.
Three volunteers. Somebody, I'm just gonna
one.
Here. One, okay.
Come on, hurry up. Come on. You can throw
them up. James, you want to come up, bro? All right, let's give it up for these three.
All right. Can you throw a deuces up? Two.
This is like, I'm so
awesome. And then you're at three.
Come right here. Give me some trips. Trips right here, okay? All right, so what we're going to talk about at this moment is, so what we want to introduce to you guys is this concept that's called seasons. Everyone say
seasons.
Okay? So Miguel, give me a uno right there. Number one, season one. Okay? What's your name again?
Anna.
Okay. Let's give it up for Anna.
Deuces.
Right. Deuces. Okay. For Anna. James. Trips. All right. So three. Okay. Season one. Season two. Season three. And this is what this means. So if we think about our natural calendar, our yearly calendar, what is it broken up into?
Four.
Seasons. Right? Right, so quadrants, so seasons. So part of what's, and I know Mark's got a story, like he started out when he did this thing, it was four seasons.
Yeah.
Can you explain just a little bit?
Yeah, we had four seasons, and my pastor thought that our church should have the same seasons. And it was exhausting, because when I started, we were about 600 people. Started as a church plant. When I showed up, we were 600 people. I came from a church plant. And so the fact that there were four seasons, I'm like, oh, this is, we've got a system. And then we grew. And we planted four churches that were satellite. We were one of the first churches to start satellite. And at each campus, we had three worship teams. And we had kids albums. We had youth albums. We had church albums. We did DVDs. And I'm like, had to change every season. Absolutely bonkers. Probably why my kidney went out. Come on, somebody. what we embraced when I moved down to San Diego to plant a church, we embraced the fashion culture. The fashion has three, they have three seasons. All the ladies already know this. Guys, you're like, what?
Learn something new.
Yeah, and so season one is January, February. And then
March.
In December, you have a planning meeting, a planning season. And what event, large event, happens in December?
Christmas,
okay? So your calendar, we've got a season planning month called December. Season one is January, February, March. Season two follows after that, is a season planning meeting in April. Which large event usually happens around April, late March?
Easter.
May, June, July, season two. And then we have a planning month called August. And August, for us, this is our season that we did an outreach. Coming back to school, it was kind of an Ignite season in August. And so that was our season planning month.
Yep.
And then September, October, November is season three.
Yep.
Any questions on how that?
So each of your seasons, you're going 3 month spurts, right? And then you have that planning session, that off month type deal.
Yeah.
And what this allows from a creative and a vision standpoint, it helps you get really laser focused. But then it also gives you the space to where you can actually run with certain items with a good shelf life.
Yeah,
is what I would say. Because the reality is I don't know if any of you, if we've got some of the graphics and different people in here on the creative side,
where you've had someone, like your lead pastor, come up and say, hey, I got this idea, and then they share it, and then you create all these different things, and then all of a sudden you have to change it 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
You know? Or better yet, we talked about the last session where someone was asking a question, and we're like, there's nothing crazy, there's nothing worse than, like, you know, having a direction of something that you've got to create, and then as for those of you who are creatives like me or whatever, you put your heart and your soul into it. You think about all the things. You've run through it. You've processed it. You've thought about next steps. You've thought about how this image translates and correlates and communicates this feeling and all these different things, and then to have a change on you, and you're like, now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
You know? So these seasons gives us a really healthy boundary. You know, for those of you who are relators and you care about feelings and the unity in your team, one, and for the exhorters, there's some really amazing things that happen in this process where you get to celebrate and really thrive on that. And then also for those of you who are the planners and the captains, it allows you to really dive into your strengths.
Yeah.
In these moments, because everybody then begins to really flow in their gift set and their skill set, and you're learning how to actually communicate with each
right.
other and to really create what we call the culture.
Yeah.
You know, and so within each of these things, so the 3 months, you've got the planning session. Can we tell them about like a little bit about the reveal and kind of like what that looks
sure.
like and different things?
Sure. What does a season planning month look like? So in December, end of November, maybe the beginning of December, life gets crazy, right?
Yeah.
But we have a season planning meeting, and as the lead pastor, I never went to the first meeting. I had sent them my sermon series in advance. I sent them what we were going to talk about in season one. So January, February, March, they knew my, at least kind of a sermon title idea.
Mm-hmm.
They got maybe a book of the Bible we were going through.
Yep.
And so for me, I'm like, I'm not going to be at the meeting because I know I'll dominate the meeting. I know I'll look over their shoulders. I know I'll shut down conversation and creativity. I'm not going to be in the meeting, but they know what we're talking about. And so maybe the thing that's really interesting is who's in that meeting?
Yeah, so in that meeting, so like in my role as a creatives pastor, right, who is in the room plays a huge part.
Yep.
Because if you get the wrong person, especially when you're talking about creativity, if you get the wrong person in there that gets so focused on details, you can end up popping the balloons before you even take off.
Yeah. Kind of right? Observers stink in that meeting.
Yeah. It really, like,
they'll, yeah.
Yeah. The observers, it's a little harder. So the observer's role in order for them to thrive in those types of meetings is utilizing them to help give you next steps.
Sure.
So, hey, don't give me all the details. Let's not talk about all the budget or all those different things because we can get stuck there.
Yeah.
But utilize their giftings to now that we've dreamed, now that we've allowed some of this stuff to percolate and kind of just brew a little bit, now utilize those your observers to help you then create next steps and to help connect the dots with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and so in that room, I would say it would be, you know, your voices matter. So sometimes the lead pastor would be in that. Just to give some direction, or if they resource ahead of time, that's great. I mean, imagine from a lead pastor's perspective, when you've actually got some buffer time to feel like you're not being chased by the wagon.
My team gave me 5 minutes. So
yeah.
I walk in, hey guys, so, oh my gosh, you're here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're gonna be doing, but I was like, hey guys, prophetically, I feel like for season one, we're gonna be taking ground. And kind of about the battles and whatever. Sometimes I went in, I said, I think I'm supposed to sit in Psalm this next season.
Yeah.
Whatever was our thing. So I was there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, so as a lead pastor, you resource your team. You give them the 30,000 foot view, but then let them really put flesh on it. Let them put the bones to it. So you have the creative director, your worship pastor, if you've got some artistic people, graphics stuff, if you've got somebody who loves to create merch, you know, and I might be saying some of these things and you're like, yeah, we don't even do that. So don't worry about that, and we'll get into that a little bit more here as we go. But you've got your comms person, you've got small group, your small group director, your small group pastor, small group leader, whatever it is. Because the awesome opportunity about doing this is when you're dreaming and you're starting to put flesh onto those bones, it's amazing how everyone's perspective in that room, and those are key perspectives that you're getting, you'll be able to now begin to really put some shape to things. you got a small group person in there, and they're all about discipleship and helping people take their next steps. Now, as you're doing a particular series, you've got stories.
Yeah.
And now, because you've got your creative director in there, hey, we can tell that story through a video. You worship, right? You, oh, this is the direction we're going? Let me think of some songs. Maybe even like today, maybe we write a song to it. You know, hey, here's a song that we're going to teach our people. You know, this gives you an opportunity because you've planned, because you've got space and time.
Yeah.
You can actually step out into new things and allow God to now develop and strengthen you in ways that you never have before.
Yeah.
But you create the space for it. Okay? So that's what those planning meetings would be like. You know, and then at the end of those planning meetings, it ends up coming into something that Mark absolutely would love because he's the exhorter, he's the party, right?
Yeah.
He's Disney, like, all the time, like, ready to go, right?
So,
things like that.
I mean, meetings are the worst, right? I mean, meetings are the worst. You get nothing done, and yet you get more to do.
Yeah.
And so this meeting has nothing to do with getting stuff done, because we met for the season planning meeting, and 2 weeks later, put it on the calendar in that first meeting, 2 weeks later, we're calling it the Great Rebuild. We would have people, these are volunteers, by the way, we'd have them Zoom in. We would just make sure it was a big party. It was at our offices. And we would call it the Great Rebuild. And so a creative person would go, hey guys, we're so excited for season one. We've got some amazing new sermon series, and we want you to see the graphics. And like today, we're going to see, David's going to show the graphic and what we're doing. Half of my songs come from sermon series. You're the Great I Am, You're the Way, the Truth, the Life, was a series called The Great I Am. We would call it The Great Rebuild. So we'd have a merch team, and they're like, they would come up, and we're going to do socks and shirts. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, would you put the hands together for the socks for Soul Church? And like, they would put Soul Church socks up. And guess what? Musicians are shouting down the merch team. And the comms team is like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And the communications, the graphic designers are like, are you kidding? We're going to make the coolest video. We're going to make the coolest thing around socks. Right? And we can lose focus. And we can maybe go, well, Mark, I don't have any of those teams. You got to start somewhere. Maybe your church plan, you got to start somewhere. Use what's right in your hand. We had a guy sitting right here, last one. He comes up, he goes, hey, do you know TJ Newell? I go, bro, TJ was with us our first house church meeting. And TJ said, hey, I'm a creative. So guess who I invited for our first planning meeting? TJ and Bex came up with, they came up with the sermon series called, it was called Holy Shift. Because I go, guys, I just feel like I want to build a church where we just shift culture and like we just need to, I want it to be holy though and like turn people towards God, and they're like, holy shift. And so like the amount of trust I had to put in my team to like communicate that. And he goes, Mark, when TJ and Bex came to that first small group, it changed their life. And so this is all about people. This is all about how God uses you and I in our natural giftings and uses it for his glory. Amen. So the Great Rebuild is probably my favorite, because then we're just celebrating each other. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. That's so cool. And then all of those teams would break off. Merch teams, musicians. I've been at a church, they have the same playlist for 4 years as you walk into church. And then I became the creative arts pastor. And the first thing I did wasn't, you know, all the things that I thought, I go, can we just change one thing? If I hear that song one more time, because as a staff person, I was there for 4 years before they ever changed the intro music. So maybe you have somebody that's just really good at music, and they're up on kind of the new stuff. And so anyway, it's just a way to get Get people that are volunteers. Get people that are just gifted in your city. One lady said, you know, Mark, this is all great, but I don't have a big church, and my pastor doesn't build teams, and I don't build teams. And that is kind of a mindset at times, that, you know, there is no glass. It's not half full. There is no glass. But God was giving out glasses. I didn't get one. So that's just negative. And so we got to be creatives that are positive, and we can get people involved that are positive as well. Amen? Like, it's just a mindset that yeah, we don't have everything, but we got something. You just do with what's in your hands.
And maybe you may feel like, let's do this real quick. Why don't you guys go ahead? Let's give it up for these three.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Like what Mark said, you know, you hear some of these ideas. These are just ideas. These are from our experiences. And you may be finding yourself being maybe like that. You're walking through that moment right now where you're like, well, I am the creatives team. My graphic ability consists of Canva. You know? Some of you got that. Okay. And some of you are like, I'm not laughing because I don't want any light shining up. It's okay. Safe place. But here's the reality. So when we talk about this, and I hope you hear what Mark was sharing as far as when you do those reveal nights, what's being celebrated?
Yeah.
Community. What's being celebrated? Gifts.
Yeah.
But more importantly than that, when you take the time and you build those things and you become intentional, not only as you, as your team, as a staff, you feel it, right? I mean, you can, in hearing that, I hope you sense, you can just imagine even putting yourself in those shoes in that moment. But think about the people that God has blessed you with. Think about the people that God has called you to lead, to disciple, to pastor, right? For so many of us, we're called to live by faith.
Yeah.
We're called to live by faith in who?
Jesus,
right? But when we do our part and we use all of our cumulative giftings together and we present a series and we present, hey, this is the direction that we're going. Now, could you imagine? And we're creating merch. I mean, socks, for goodness sakes, right? Like, whatever it might be. But now you're giving something tangible to people.
Yep.
It's something that they can hold. It's something that they can grasp. It's something that, you know what? Oh, they're so insecure, they're so scared, but yet I'm going to step out in faith because there's something that's stirring in my heart, and I know what's going to be talked about. I know what's going to be communicated. I know what we're going to focus on.
Right.
Lord, oh man, I'm struggling with that. What are you going to do in my own heart, in my own life, so that I can... And you're giving them something tangible that they can grasp.
Yeah.
So now their faith becomes more than just faith, but now they're actually seeing. And when you start to do things like that, now you're creating a culture where you may be lacking in certain things. You may have nothing at this moment.
Yeah.
Right? But the reality is you're prepping the ground. You may be sitting on dry ground.
Right.
You know, and guess what? You've got to be able to do certain things that are out of the box.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to building a team and all those different things. I mean, I know Mark, when he was talking about, he shared with me before, like building a band. He'd go to Guitar Center. You know, find somebody. You know, I'd reach out online. I'd go to community. I'd go to art places and just see where people are huddling, where teenagers are, where college students are, and just step out and be like, hey, I got this opportunity. What do you think, right? You know, we all have been a part of that where we can pitch something.
I'd love to take a moment.
Yeah.
And it's so good. We created culture codes.
Yeah.
Your church has values.
Yeah.
And culture is your values and your behavior.
Yeah.
And how many have been a part of a church where the values stated on the wall and how we actually behave are a mile apart? Right?
Yeah.
I was at a church that was core value number 10, we are submitted to authority. Can I tell you how many times my senior pastor was in fight with Foursquare? And I walk him over to core value number 10. I'm like, Pastor, I love you. And you call me on this all the time. But like, there's a chasm between the two. So, on your own, I want you to try to come up with 5 culture codes. Okay?
Yep.
One of our culture codes was this. We're going to reach the lost at any cost. We're always going to have one non-believer in our band for a weekend.
Wow.
So guess what? I built my teams with a lot of non-safety. But I just want one. Because when they would show up for the gig, I told them they were playing a gig. And they started watching our team play together in harmony.
Yeah.
And living in harmony, experience the presence of God. We planted a church with my brother-in-law and in downtown San Diego. And I didn't have a drummer. It was just me. So I go to Guitar Center, meet my buddy, ripping on the drums. I'm all, what's up, man? How you doing? Dude, this is amazing. Like, sounds so cool. And I'm like, bro, I need your help. We're at a church plant. Would you play drums? He's all, how much? I go, we can do probably $75, but church plant. So we play, and he's just a machine, just. And then my brother-in-law starts preaching. I'm on the front row, and I'm like, smells like a skunk in here. So he went out back, smoked some marijuana, comes back in for the close. Man, he's feeling good. Like, he's just... Not a joke. You could ask Jason Graves. Third week. Jason, I'm in the room. I'm playing piano. Jason's giving an altar call. And from the drums, I hear a snap. I'm like, what the heck? And Jason's like, hey, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, there's maybe 13 people in the room. And you need to receive the grace of God. And you need the forgiveness of a Savior who loves you. I hear this snap. And I turn around. And my drummer is like, that's me. And he just got tears. He ended up playing with us for over a year and a half. He goes, man, I don't want to be paid anymore. But that was because we had a value of bringing non-people into the presence of God. Okay. Culture code for us is no gossip. A doesn't talk to B about C. So it's a culture code for us. It's also biblical, by the way. We've had culture codes like gossip. We've had about one of ours is like this. We don't do the green room. So I told my team, we were growing. We went from 600 to a lot of people and campuses and teams. And I said, but one thing, we're not going to be in the green room. So I have my team out meeting people in the front, and we created something called the Neo process. So I said, after we're done leading worship, we're going to go to the green room, but we're going to go to the green room to pray. And I would write Neo on the board. And every team member had to tell me someone new, someone established, and someone younger, and someone older that you met. And we would put names down. So my drummer, who was there for the gig, was like, man, I met Mary. I met this guy, he's younger than me. So, new, established, younger than me, older than me. So we started the Neo process. My pastor would go to the back and see Neo and see names all over. So while they were preaching, we're rending heaven, praying for individual names of people we met. Come on, we don't need more giggers. Listen, there is a ton of song leaders. We need worship leaders anointed. We need worship leaders who are in unity with their senior pastor. We need worship leaders that are going to meet people. And that's how you're going to change people. So if you say, hey, can we lift up our hands? They know you. They know your face. They've met you. They've met your kids. You've got some equity in the room. Amen? As a creative and to lead, it just takes vulnerability. Like every time your pastor gets up there, can I just tell you, my pastor, he would tell you, you know that I've been studying by myself all week. And to put my notes in front of you as a creative team is very vulnerable for me. And so, like, it takes vulnerability on both sides. And we can't hold tightly to our giftings. We can't hold tightly. My personality is to write and give it away and celebrate everybody, but a lot of people's personalities are just different. So we hope that something was helpful today, and something that was hopefully clear and obvious, easy and obvious. And if you guys have any questions, we're gonna be here. David has, talk about your thing real quick.
I specialize in like trying to help community and like other churches to kind of bring together creative and consult. So yeah. I've been doing it for about 25 years in my company, and I work for Church 14. So I just want to be more of a resource to like a starting point, a bridge to like. No pun intended.
You're up in Washington.
Washington. Yeah, I'm from Washington.
And then Pete's in right here in the LA area. So if you need help, he's also got a creative company that.
So what we've got for you guys, because I know we covered several things, but then we've also have some other stuff, but to like the seasons, different things. I've got a QR code. We've had issues with it. Also the website. I can give this to you guys here at the end, and we'll close out in prayer.
Yeah.
But then you can just fill it out, and you can download the PDFs of the season stuff, just the resources and the things that we talked about and some of the other things that we didn't get to, but just to hope that guys blesses you and all that stuff. So.
Totally. And I'm just a songwriter and a worship leader. So if any of you need coaching and all that stuff, we're giving away, we're in our new season right now. We're giving all Mark Wyman Music is a new nonprofit. And so we're coaching, creating, and then celebrating for the least of these. And so we're partnering with different, ministries and going to give all of our music away for free. So, there's free music out there if you need it. At the table, actually, and so we want relationship too, just to help you guys however we can. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for every gift. And we give you the praise and glory. Lord, we need lunch in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you need the QR code.